alone in this particular, took after his father. He was the one little gray cub of the litter. He had bred true to the straight wolf stock. In fact, he had bred true physically to old One-Eye himself, with but a single exception, and that was that he had two eyes to his father's one. Most of the first month of his life had been passed in sleeping, but now he could see quite well, and he stayed awake for longer periods of time, and he was coming to learn his world quite well. But he had early discovered that one wall of his world was different from the rest. This was the mouth of the cave and the source of light. Always in the beginning, before his conscious life dawned, he had crawled toward the mouth of the cave. And in this his brothers and sisters were one with him. Never in that period did any of them crawl toward the dark corners of the back wall. They were always crawling and sprawling toward the light and being driven back from it by their mother. It was in this way that the gray cub learned other attributes of his mother than the soft, soothing tongue. In his insistent crawling toward the light, he discovered in her a nose that with a sharp nudge administered rebuke, and later a paw that crushed him down or rolled him over and over with swift, calculating strokes. He was a fierce little cub. So were his brothers and sisters. It was to be expected. He was a carnivorous animal. He came of a breed of meat killers and meat eaters. His father and mother lived wholly upon meat. The milk he had sucked with his first flickering life was milk transformed directly from meat. And now, at a month old, when his eyes had been open for but a week, he was beginning himself to eat meat, meat half digested by the she-wolf and disgorged for the five growing cubs that already made too great demand upon her breast. But he was, further, the fiercest of the litter, and it was he that caused the mother the most trouble in keeping her litter from the mouth of the cave. He did not know it for an entrance. He did not know anything about entrances. So to him, the entrance of the cave was a wall of light. There was one strange thing about this wall of light. His father had a way of walking right into the white far wall and disappearing. The gray cub could not understand this. Though never permitted by his mother to approach that wall, he had approached the other walls and encountered hard obstruction on the end of his tender nose. This hurt, and after several such adventures, he left the walls alone. Without thinking about it, he accepted this disappearing into the wall as a peculiarity of his father, as milk and half-digested meat were peculiarities of his mother. Like most creatures of the wild, he early experienced famine. There came a time when not only did the meat supply cease, but the milk no longer came from his mother's breast. At first the cubs whimpered and cried, but for the most part they slept. It was not long before they were reduced to a coma of hunger. One Eye was desperate. He ranged far and wide and slept but little in the lair that had now become cheerless and miserable. The she-wolf, too, left her litter and went out in search of meat. In the first days after the birth of the cubs, One Eye had journeyed several times back to the Indian camp and robbed the rabbit snares. But with the melting of the snow and the opening of the streams, the Indian camp had moved away, and that source of supply was closed to him. When the gray cub came back to life and again took interest in the far white wall, he found that the population of his world had been reduced. Only one sister remained to him. The rest were gone. As he grew stronger, he found himself compelled to play alone, for the sister no longer lifted her head nor moved about. His little body rounded out with the meat he now ate, but the food had come too late for her. She slept continuously, a tiny skeleton flung round with skin, in which the flame flickered lower and lower, and at last went out. Then there came a time when the gray cub no longer saw his father appearing and disappearing in the wall, nor lying down asleep in the entrance. The she-wolf knew why One Eye never came back, but there was no way by which she could tell what she had seen to the gray cub. Hunting herself for meat, up the left fork of the stream where lived the lynx, she had followed a day-old trail of One Eye. And she had found him, or what remained of him, at the end of the